that time. It lasted for 18 weeks. I was one of the leaders of the strike.
Now this, how many people do you think were employed?
That time, we had, I was one on the strike committee, we had 1,000 Jewish people.
In the stogie making?
In the strike.
In the strike alone?
Yeah, 1,000 Jewish people.
In other words, this was a very big industry.
Almost every family there. Either they had a factory or they worked for... There was dozens and dozens of small little factories, you know.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between what they say Toby and Stogie?
Well, that's the same thing. It's equivalent. Uh-huh.
Is it like a cigar or it's the same thing as a cigar?
See, cigars are made by machine.
Uh-huh. A Stogie is a handmade
cigar. And some of them are by machine too, but it's of a cheaper quality than a cigar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And where'd you get the tobacco from?
Was it
from Cuba, the tobacco?
Oh, this I don't know. No, they used to get it from Virginia,
Kentucky,
and North Carolina, mm-hmm. and all that.
And do you have any idea how it was introduced into Pittsburgh, this industry? Who brought it in?
No, I don't know.
I know that Samuel Gumper started out as a
cigar maker.
Cigar maker, so that there were Jews in this particular branch of American industry.
But... let's see, I came here in 1906.
And it was already an established industry.
It was already about 20 years.
And it was considered a Jewish industry, more
well,
or less.
Later on, the Gentiles took it
but
over.
But this started out as a
Jewish. Yeah.
And so when you had the big strike, it was Jewish workers against Jewish employers.
That's right.
What was your main reason for striking?
Well, you see, people now when they strike, mm-hmm. their demand is $10 a week, $20 mm-hmm. a week increase.
Yeah.
And we demanded from that time you were getting paid 13 cents a hundred, we demanded 15 cents.
Mm-hmm.
That would amount to a dollar or a dollar and a half a week increase.
Mm-hmm.
And we struck 18 weeks.
Mm. And did you get it?
We compromised. I think instead of a dollar and a half, we gained 75 cents a week.
And so you compromised on 14 cents a hundred?
Something like that. 14 or...
So when they had that show, the pajama game, and they sang about 7.5 cents, you understood what they meant?
Oh, yeah.
When did you leave the union?
Well, I left the union...
By the way, what was the name of it?
Used to be the Stogie Makers Union. And
what was it affiliated
with? The IWW.
Oh, International Workers of the World.
That time the IWW was like equivalent to the communists now. That time.
Well, they were the radical group, yeah.
The reason we joined them because the American Federation of Labor wouldn't take us in.
Mm-hmm,
they only
mm-hmm.
took in the aristocrats
of labor. Yeah.
They all took in cigar makers
yeah,
and,
uh-huh.
and hand stogie makers like in Wheeling, you know,
uh-huh.
Marsh, Big Havana.
Uh-huh.
So. The IWW was willing to take us in and we went with them.
Did you have a number, like local so-and-so?
I don't know.
No.
It's a no.
Okay, it's not important. What became your life's work?
Hmm?
Your life's work.
What do you mean?
Well, you're not a stogie maker anymore.
Oh.
When they say life's work, in other words, yeah. what you did the rest of your life.
Well, in 1915, mm-hmm. I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to study law. There
Which
you are.
University?
There it is.
Oh, College of Law. Does it still exist?
Oh, yeah.
It's called College of Law?
It's
not associated with one of the universities?
It's affiliated with the Chattanooga University.
Oh,
University of Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm. And you graduated in 1 year?
No.
So it's here 1916? You went in 1915?
In the beginning of 1915.
So in 2 years you
did? 2 years, yeah.
Didn't you have to go to another college before? Mm.
Yeah.
So you got your law degree and you were a lawyer. This was your life's work.
By the way, this...
If you could live this part of your life over, what kind of work would you go into? Or
same work.
Same. What schooling did you have in Pittsburgh?
Well, I went to the Franklin Public school.
In the daytime?
Night school.
Every night?
Oh, yeah.
How many hours?
Five. 2 hours every night.
How were the classes arranged? According to knowledge?
Some started more and some less.
They put all the beginners together in the middle.
No, they had
regular grades, first grade, second grade, and so on.
Right.
Uh-huh. But these were adults or young people?
Oh, adults.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember anything about the course of study?
Well, it was the same curriculum like they have in a public school.
Well, not at such a childish level.
Yeah.
Started with childish stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did you learn to speak English in school?
School.
And to write English? Same. And then from Franklin School?
Then I went to Fifth Avenue High School.
Also at night?
Night.
How long did it take you till you graduated?
Oh, I think it took me about 2 or 3 years. About 2 years, I think.
In the daytime, it takes 4 years. It took two years at night.
In fact, I had algebra and Russia before I came.
You had a lot of advanced subjects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And algebra, then? Geography, and history.
And, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then?
Well, then I went to 19...
You were only about 18 years old when you went to study law. 19 years old.
Older than that. I was in 1950, the beginning of 1950.
Uh-huh. So in other words, how long did you go to Franklin School? I'm not counting right. You came when you were 13 and a half.
Oh, I don't 13 remember. And a half. Maybe 2 or 3. I don't know.
Yeah.
Really
mm-hmm. And then you went to law school. I see. So what was your degree, Bachelor of Laws? See, nowadays, I think they make you go through for a whole BA, and then you go to law school.
That time?
It goes through a whole different...
You could be a doctor in 3 years. Now you have to go 7 years to be a doctor.
Did you have Gentile classmates in these schools that you went to?
No, I had...
Only here. But in the elementary and in high school, there were practically no Gentiles? You don't remember?
There was some Gentiles.
Well, what was the relationship?
Pretty good.
Did you see any of them socially?
No. Never mixed socially with the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you go to Cheder after you came to America?
No. I had...
Did you have any Hebrew education after you came to America?
No, but I had a good, very good Hebrew education in Europe. Yeah. I went to yeshiva 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
From 12 to 13, I went to yeshiva.
Mm-hmm. But you still remember what you studied?
Oh, yeah. And then, before I went to yeshiva, my grandfather taught me Talmud and Hebrew. Not Hebrew. Hebrew I used to get from a private teacher.
Did you like music?
Very much.
Did you play an instrument, or do you play an instrument?
No.
Did you go to concerts and opera? Where?
If I had money. Well, years ago, we could take in all concerts and operas for 25, 35, 50 cents.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember where they appeared?
Oh, you used to be in, once a year, they used to have Shakespearean festival down at the Elwin Theater. Every night would be a different...
How long would it go on?
For a whole week. It would be Hamlet one day and...
When was this? Around when, do you remember?
It was, I would say, around 12, 13, around that time.
And you'd go and see the plays?
Oh, no, see plays. And then they used to have that time the Abern Opera Company. It's second or third grade.
What was the name of it?
Abern Opera Company.
Do you want to spell it for me?
Huh?
Do you want to spell it for me?
I think it's A-B-O-R-N.
Oh, it was somebody's name who made an opera company, and they would travel around.
Oh, yes, play operas, different operas every day, you know.
And
They weren't metropolitan opera, second or third grade.
But you heard the music.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Yiddish theater?
Oh, yes, never missed.
Where?
Well, in the beginning, when I came to this country, there used to be on... 4th Street, they call it the Turner Hall.
Yeah, I heard about Turner Hall.
And there used to be a Jewish troupe, Madame Simon and David Levinson. They were originally from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come here every Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday night. The general admission was 15 cents, 25, so forth. So we used to go every week. Then later on, they started to bring the Jewish theater from New York. Tomaszewski,
the Adler. The big names. This is an impresario brought them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about lectures?
Well,
did you go to lectures?
Yeah.
Where?
Don't forget, when I was 18 years old,
This is a microphone. Every little knock makes a knock. You want to knock something with that? I'm sorry. You were enjoying it, and I'm spoiling your enjoyment.
So, I did it unconsciously.
Of course. I didn't want to stop you.
Let's see, what
else? Lectures.
Oh, yeah.
Remember where they
when
used to
I was
to
18 years old, I became a socialist.
Uh-huh. So you went to the socialist lectures.
Plenty. Uh-huh. I was a very enthusiastic socialist.
Where did they have these lectures? Do you remember which buildings or places or institutions or halls or?
Ordinarily, we would have the lectures up in the Hill District, in the headquarters where we used to be.
The Labor Lyceum.
No, this was later on. Labor Lyceum was built. But in the first, they used to rent halls, like 1624 Center Avenue or Arthur Street. Mm-hmm. And you used to have lectures almost every week or every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. After they had the Labor Lyceum, of course, they had more lectures.
Mm-hmm. I see. Did you go to the public library?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember which branches you went to?
Carnegie Wiley Avenue.
Wiley Avenue. They don't have it anymore, no?
Did they
Wiley Avenue? I don't know. Do they have one there?
Yeah. I think they do.
I once looked up a Hebrew book by Shin Yud Agnon. They had it in the central catalog. And when I looked, it said, in Wiley Avenue branch. And I went to the librarian and I said, I would like to read these books. And she laughed at me. They had it there from 1920, they had it in the catalog.
But I'm sure that they didn't tear the library down.
The library's still there, but she laughed because the Hebrew books weren't there anymore.
Oh, the Hebrew books. Oh, yeah.
But nobody changed the catalog.
But I remember when I used to go, they had a big Hebrew section, Yiddish and Hebrew, Russian section. And
what Pittsburgh newspapers did you read?
Well, at that time it was the Press and the Leader, Dispatch, there were so many.
You read them all?
Well, I wouldn't. The Press mostly.
Did you read any Yiddish newspapers? Or your father, your family?
The Forwards.
Did you ever hear of the Volksbund?
Sure.
Did you read it?
Volksbund of Pittsburgh? Yeah. It's. That paper doesn't exist anymore.
That's right, but I when I asked what papers did you read, I don't mean that they're still existing. I meant at that time, you know.
Well, let's see, the Falkland, was that the one edited by Glick?
Right. Do you know who his daughter is? That's Albert Bloom's wife, his granddaughter.
Oh,
Evelyn
yeah.
Bloom, in the newspaper business.
Mr. Glick, he would, it was a weekly paper, see?
Yeah.
So every week there was an editorial, and he would end, Zolzheim and Glick. Oh, yeah, the Volksbund. It was situated at corner Logan and Clark Street.
His granddaughter has some of the copies, but not all of them. She has some of them. Yeah, she's the granddaughter. When you came to the United States, did you think of yourself as a religious person? In which ways did you?
Well, I practiced. I was very religious.
Did you change any of this during the first 5 years?
I changed during the first, let's see, 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning I would get, before I'd go to work, I would put on the tefillin and say the daily prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Little by little I put on the tefillin, but already the daily prayers, I cheated a little bit. And one nice morning I get up, and instead of putting the tefillin on, I went to the kitchen and made myself tea. That time I didn't have a coffee. And my father, peace be on him, says, just vergessen etwas. I said, no. So he points to the tefillin.
Mm.
I says, I'm not going to daven anymore. He opened up his eyes. What? I says, I'm not going to daven anymore. Well, this kept up for quite a while until he reconciled himself to the fact that I'm not going to daven anymore.
Or your family attend the synagogue here in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I attended my father's shul.
Which one was that?
Lubavitcher Shul. For a while, they had...
Do you remember where it was? It was called Anshei Lubavitch, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Anshei Lubavitch. Towards the last, they had a shul on Aaron Street.
Mm-hmm.
But now, there is no more the shul.
I know. But it was on Aaron Street they
had the shul. No, when I used to go... It was in different places, Arthur Street and Center Avenue.
They didn't have their own building.
They didn't have their own building.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Did you carry on observances in your home? Well, this means, of course, before you were married as a boy. Your mother.
Mother, naturally.
Mother and father, but you didn't.
Yeah.
Later. You told me it took about 4 years till you really made the switch. Did you experience any change in health when you came to Pittsburgh due to climate or food or other things?
No.
When you needed medical care, where did you go in Pittsburgh?
Well, at that time I used to go to the dispensary.
Where was this?
Oh, there was a dispensary on Townsend Street. And
who ran it? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Well, you just said the dispensary. Yeah.
Oh, there was a dispensary downtown at the Mercy Hospital. They used to have a free clinic, you know, different hospital.
You didn't have private doctors?
Yeah, we had family doctors.
Do you remember any of them?
Oh, well, there was Dr. Lichtenstein and Gracken.
And they would come to the house and make
those
calls?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever have occasion to use any of the local hospitals for operation or for eye care or for stuff like that?
I had my tonsils taken out in the eye and ear hospital when they were located up in the Hill District before they moved out.
And your mother didn't have any children in America, did you?
In this country?
Yeah.
No.
What were the first organizations that you belonged to? Now, you told me when you were 18 you joined the Socialist Party.
Well,
did you join the Socialist Party or one of the Jewish groups?
The Jewish branch. But when I was about 17, I belonged for a while. They called it the Maccabean Zionist Organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the General Zionist Organization.
This was for young people?
Yeah. No, this was everybody.
Yeah. Did you quit?
Well, when I decided that I'm going to be a socialist, I resigned from there and joined the Jewish branch of the Socialist Party.
Did it have a special name, the Jewish branch?
They call it the Third World Jewish Branch.
You would think that the socialists wouldn't keep to a specific ethnic group. Of the Socialist Party, the regular Socialist
Party.
They
call it Third World Jewish Branch of the Socialist Party.
Mm-hmm. How long did you stay in there?
Oh, I stayed with them a good many years.
Yeah. But you didn't rejoin the Zionist group till maybe later. Did you belong to the Workman's Circle?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you joined that?
I joined them in 1912.
And any other organizations that you can think of that you joined in the first 5 or so years?
And the union.
And of course the Stogiemakers Union.
Yeah, I was very active as one of the leaders of the Stogiemakers Union.
Did you belong to any organizations that were set up to give charity? No. Did you have pishkas in the house?
Well, my mother used to have shivas and the Jewish National Fund.
Yeah, because, of course, the first 5 years you were living with your parents, so... did you contribute to charity in any way?
Well, I didn't have my money to contribute.
Where did you go to have a good time? And did you go with boyfriends or girls and boys, or, you know?
Well, we had to go to picnics, you know, and union picnics or working in circle picnics, or, yeah.
Other activities?
Huh?
Other activities for a good time?
No.
Did you participate in any sports during these years?
Well, when I was real young, I used to go down to those, baseball lots, you know, they call it.
You played sandlot baseball as a kid?
Kid, yeah. Used to be on Washington Playground. Mm-hmm. They tore it down now. Mm-hmm.
Did you go to watch sports in any way?
To watch? Oh, well, yes, to watch or even play, you know.
No, I mean, did you go to watch big baseball games or to watch?
Yeah, once in a while. Mm-hmm.
I just discovered that Barney Trifus was almost a neighbor of mine, but 50 years apart.
Yeah?
Yeah, he lived on Bartlett, a stone's throw from where I was.
The old Barney, yeah.
Do you remember the Columbian Council had ball teams and things like that? You didn't participate in that, though, did you?
Council, no.
They have basketball and all kinds of stuff.
Designers used to have, they call it the coffee club, and they
Were you in any of that stuff?
No, I didn't. When I belonged that time to the Maccabean Zionists, they used to have the coffee club or the basketball club, used to have a dance every Saturday night. I used to help him out, usher. Or,
yeah, but not as a player.
No.
Did you know the YMCA? And did you have anything to do with them? Did any non-Jewish agents help you in your early years here? Were there any local meeting places such as cafes or restaurants or halls? Do you remember any special places?
You mean in my young days?
In your young days on the Hill. Many people mention Weinstein's.
Weinstein used to be Gold's Restaurant. That's, I think, that's about the only two places. Gold and Weinstein's Restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And people met there.
Yeah, met there. They used to have banquets there. After meetings, they would come there for a cup of coffee.
And, were there any other local meeting places that you remember that you haven't mentioned yet? You mentioned already the Labor Lyceum later, and you mentioned various places we used to meet. Is there any place that you can think of now that we
By the way,
mention?
I was a member of the Columbia Council. They preceded the IKS.
You were a member of the Columbian Council. What, in which capacity?
I used to go take lessons there and attend the lectures, you know, they were, this was before the IKS was built up in the Hill District. They called the Columbian Council.
Yeah, I know it preceded the Iron Coffin Settlement.
Right.
In fact, it kind of took, the Iron Coffin Settlement kind of took over from, and used to go to lessons, you say?
Well, I used to take lessons in algebra, geometry, you know, they had special ed for adults.
This is when you had just arrived, in the early...
Yeah, in the early, well, the first 4 or 5 years, you know.
This is interesting. You took lessons in math, and what else did they do there?
Well, once in a while, they... lectures about Americanization, advanced English, something like
Good. You know, the Columbian Council was directly related to the organization I'm working with, the National Council of Jewish Women. That was their old name.
Was it?
Yeah. A lot of people don't know this. This was their old name.
In fact, one of the...
They were behind the founding of the Iron Coffin Settlement.
One of the... main counselor that Mrs. Weil and Hellman, you know Hellman?
Yes, Anna B. Hellman.
They were good friends of mine. So.
Mrs. A. Leo Weil.
Not A. Leo Weil. I forgot what her name is, but she's dead a good many years.
But Anna B. Hellman is a street named after her now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to do a little research on her because she's a very important person.
They call her the Angel of the Hill.
Yeah.
That's what they call her.
How did you meet people during your first 5 years?
What do you mean?
How did you get acquainted with people? How did you get to meet people?
First of all, you met him while working with him.
At work, yeah.
and then at the organizations.
Were you friendly with non-Jews at the time?
Well, I didn't have many. We didn't have many non-Jews.
Did you stay friends with any of the original first friends for those first few years? Did any of them remain friends throughout your lifetime, throughout your...
Yeah.
Did you have family here in Pittsburgh besides your father when you came over? Who did you come
to? Cousins, the only
cousins. Were you close socially with them? Did they come to celebrate the Seder together with you or anything like that?
No.
The Seder was just the immediate family.
That's right.
Maintain contact with people in Europe and other parts of the world during this period? Did your family maintain contact?
During this period?
Yeah.
Well, my father and they used to keep contact with my family in Europe. My grandfather and my uncles.
Any other parts? Did any of the family go to Israel? Or to Palestine those days?
No.
And this correspondence was kept up for years? Okay.
In fact, I kept up correspondence with my uncle till 1940. He was my youngest uncle. And he wrote me a letter in 1940, before Hitler invaded. And he says how good it is in Russia, and how the Jews have everything, and his children go to school. So, and then at the end, he says, if possible, he would like for me to send them underwear or sheets. I, that time, was a very, I was antagonistic to communism. And I says, my dear uncle, this is, you tell me that you live in a worker's paradise. I grant you that. I says, still, you don't have enough sheets. I says, I live in a capitalist country and we have sheets. So he wrote me a letter. I think my letter was intercepted. And he says, I don't want you to write any more criticism about Russia, and stopped writing.
You didn't understand that there was censorship of the mail, sure.
And since that time, he says, you don't want to send me, don't send me, but I don't want to hear a word criticism about Russia. Oh, my.
How did you acquire your citizenship?
Well, by naturalization.
When?
In 1914.
It wasn't through your father. You went by on your own?
My own.
Uh-huh. When did you first vote?
1914, 2 months after I...
To what party did you belong?
To what party? Socialist, that time.
Yeah. And why, they say here?
Why? What do you mean, why?
Why did you belong to the Socialist Party?
Because I was a socialist.
Yeah, okay. Plain. I know. No, sometimes people answer Democrat or Republican, and we try to find out why they chose a particular... socialist. Obviously, you believed in the principles.
I believe the principle of socialism, and the social revolution is around the corner. And
is it possible to ask when you were disillusioned?
Well, I'm still a socialist at heart, but I've been disillusioned many times.
Were you active in the Socialist Party?
Yeah.
In what way? What did you do? Were you officer or what?
Well, I was an officer, committees, different time, and speaking for him sometime.
I heard that Eugene V. Debs was here.
Oh, he was here many times. I heard him. I heard him twice.
When did
I heard him twice in here, and I heard him in Indiana, in Indianapolis, Indiana. I heard him.
When did you first? I don't know. Were you married? Yeah. I mean, when did you first meet the person that you married?
Oh, 1912.
And how did you meet her? How were you introduced?
We worked together in the shop.
How old were you when you got married?
Well, I got married, I was 23.
And she?
She was 20.
And do you remember the date that you were married?
August 15. 1915.
You were married here. Mm-hmm. And how long did you know each other before you married?
Well, we worked together for a good many years, for about 7-8 years, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you were just a child when you... your marriage was not pre...